Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Juniper's Cabinet of Curiosities. I'm Juniper Rain, and I have another story to tell you. Today's story is a story about a crematorium that has pushed the boundaries of nature and humanity. So grab your headphones, stay alive. Milton Dreyer arrived in Portland, Oregon in 1919. An aspiring young Milton saw an instant opportunity working in the funeral industry, and within a year had founded a funeral home with his little brother Jacob. Their timing couldn't have been more perfect with the Spanish flu epidemic wiping out a chunk of the population, but Milton was able to set up a deal with the city of Portland. He would prep any corpse to be embalmed or cremated, and the city would pay $50 apiece. This deal, partnered with Milton's perfectionist attitude, soon made the Dreyer brothers respected and very wealthy. Milton was content with his success, but Jacob couldn't be satisfied. He knew they could do more, and his greed slowly consumed him.
Brother, you must see the potential here. We could do so much more business and make so much more money.
It's outrageous, Jake. Cremate several bodies at once? It's immoral. How would the families know who they were getting? No, I won't do it. Brother, please.
No, Jacob, and that's final.
A rift began to form between the brothers, but since Milton owned the majority stock of the business, his word was law. Well, that was until the war. An honorable man and a patriot, Milton, volunteered for service in World War II. Being 42 at the time, he was not required by the draft, but Milton didn't care. Commissioned as a captain, he served in the Pacific until his tragic death. At the same time, Jacob had taken control of the business and, with Milton out of the way, began doing things his way, going as far as burning his brother with five others. Jacob's greed knew no bounds, but the business continued to profit and grow, but not without serious consequence. Soon, the employees began to notice strange things happening throughout the facility. Tools moving on their own. When they would set down the embalming fluid, it would appear across the room. The furnaces turned on and off randomly, only to be noticed by a faint smell of burning flesh sometimes hours later. Worst of all, on occasion, workers would report a ghastly scream would fill the building. For years, Jacob shrugged it off and kept working, though each night his dreams were filled with images of his brother's ghost and the ghost of those who he had damned to his unholy house of fire. He hid this, though, in concern of the face of the business, and as a known philanthropist, he was loved for his persona. Though no matter how hard he tried, the rope of insanity began pulling him closer and closer. Those who truly knew him left him, as he became more and more paranoid and lost. Until one night in 1976, when Jacob finally had enough, and for the first time in decades, he went to the furnace room to perform one more cremation.
Hello, brother. Do you see now what you have done? What I've done? I've built an empire. I've become rich beyond your wildest dreams. I've become the face of the funeral world. I've become everything you never were. What? Is that all you have to say? After 30 years of terrorizing me and my men, haunting my dreams and ruining my life? You deserve no more. You have become a monster. You exploit those who can't fight you. And you have condemned many a poor soul to this place. So I ask again, do you see what you have done? Yes, I do. And I intend to continue.
Shoving 20 bodies into the furnace and kicking it on, Jacob stood there, watching it burn, and attempted to walk away. But something unseen was keeping him there. Suddenly, as if by a gust of wind, he was pushed back into the open furnace door. He grasped desperately for the frames, but soon they became too hot, burning his hands and forcing him to let go. Jacob plummeted in, clogging the machine and burning it down to nothing. But the building remained intact, keeping those souls trapped for decades to come. From here, time moved on around the building. Jacob's widow attempted to sell the property, but when one of his confidants spoke up and the media heard of the stories of Jacob's unspeakable acts, it was nearly impossible. Between the court cases and the settlements, the Titan that once was the Dreyer fortune was, like its patriarch, reduced to ash. For 30 years, the building remained vacant, yet surprisingly intact, as no one would enter in fear of the damned souls who called this building their unholy resting place. That was until another young entrepreneur saw potential and would bring flames back to the Dreyer building, although for a different purpose. A coffee maker by the name of Jim Dawson would buy the Dreyer building at a steep discount and build a coffee shop and roastery. Having full knowledge of the Dreyers, Jim figured he could take advantage of the controversy and use it to drum up business. He even went as far as using the old furnace power lines to fuel his roasters. Many considered him exploitative, but at the same time, many more were curious. And so, the Coffin Coffee Company was born. Initially, business was great. People came for the ambiance and stayed for a damn good cup of coffee. However, this would not last, as within weeks of opening, many felt unsafe and unwelcomed in the shop. It started with a subtle chill, a broken mug, a general air of displeasure. Soon, though, things got much worse. Several employees started feeling very off, headaches and short tempers mostly. And Jim rarely left his office and stopped talking to much of anyone. Even the drinks were different, tasting bitter and even leaving people sick for days. The health inspector was called, but could find nothing wrong. Well, at least nothing physically wrong. 6 months in, the Coffin Coffee Company would meet a similar end to the Dreyer Crematorium. For weeks, the shop had been taking interviews for a new store manager, as the old one had quit for health reasons. New candidates were hired and fired quickly. No one seemed to be the perfect fit that Mr. Dawson wanted. After 22 candidates and 22 people fired, a new candidate came and didn't even make it past the interview before he was fired. This would be the last candidate, however, as later that night, the building would erupt into flames, destroying the shop, the building, and Jim Dawson. The cause? The old crematorium had been brought back to life. In the basement sat another furnace, stuffed with 24 corpses. Well, 23 corpses, and one Jim Dawson, possessed by the spirit of Jacob Dreyer. As the 24th corpse, he pressed start and climbed into the furnace to join them. He had finally finished what the departed had tried to do decades before, thus proving we should let sleeping spirits lie. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. This episode is called A Dreyer Built on Tragedy and was submitted by Michael Green. He wrote this back in 2020. Michael is one of my dear friends, and I was so thankful for the opportunity to give him a submission for this week's episode. If you ever want to submit one of your own stories, you can do so to our email, or you can always message us on the socials. Please consider following our Patreon if you like this content, and stay tuned for more. This episode was written by Michael Green and was recorded by Juniper Rangallegos, as well as produced and edited. This story was modified slightly for audio retelling. See y'all next week. Stay safe and spooky.